Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
You're on, Eric.
Oh, you want me to start? Hello, welcome to the big show from the British Tech Network. I'm Eric Lanigan, filling in for Ewan Rankin, who is conspicuously present. Hello, Ewan. What are you doing back there?
I'm trying to get a Blockbuster card out of my eye. No, I'm fine. I've had a rather late journey home, and it's taken me a lot longer than I thought it would. So literally, I walked into a plateful of scrambled eggs that my wife made for me just 2 minutes before we started. So thank you for stepping in as host, mate. You do a far better job than I do anyway. So I'm a panel member today who hasn't read a single tech story all week.
And fittingly, you have my lower third up right now, so that makes sense. So let's get right to it. Or first, let's introduce people. How about that? James Hart, how are you doing?
Good evening, Eric. Good evening, world. Hello. Yes, I'm okay. I'm already sporting pretty much one of the biggest things to come out of Google I/O this week, the Google Glass. It's the future. I can see you and everything.
Those are fantastic, mate. Those are absolutely fantastic.
And I think Steve Niebuhr has a similar Google Glass, Project Glass going on right now. Hey, Steve.
That's correct. I am very proud to be wearing one of the prototypes of Google Glass.
Project 4.
Very nice.
I can see you.
You've got the budget edition. That's the Google Glass tinfoil edition.
Yep. No, there's no tinfoil involved at all.
It's chrome.
I'm not wearing a pair of glasses with tinfoil. And the reason why we have started the show late was that I was skydiving into the show, into the studio, and I was a little bit late with the wind, so I apologize about that. But I'm sure you will enjoy the video on the way down.
With the wind.
That falling
yes,
to
we've,
earth.
Yes, we've all skydived into our respective homes and studios, so we can't confirm that since we didn't videotape it, but you just have to trust us on that one. It was quite spectacular.
It was a private hangout.
The reason why we were late was Ewan was struggling to get in that flying suit thing.
Oh, that's an image you don't want to keep.
And Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. I don't have any Google Glasses, but I do have the aerial that will be required for the Google Glasses to work in my area of the country. I think this is probably going to...
Was that 9 decibels or something?
Oh, wait, I'm quite low in my screen, actually. I'm going to have to come down.
There we go. No,
it's there we go. It's a bit, yeah. So I think this one will probably do. That's the only chance I've got of getting any kind of bandwidth around here.
Are you a wizard?
It's actually an extender for my Wi-Fi. But
No, it's not. It's a wizard.
It is a wand. It's a magic wand.
Well, my daughter does have like a proper Harry Potter one downstairs. It's actually quite realistic.
It's his wife's, and he's not supposed to know where she keeps it.
I hope the wife's got something a bit more meaty than that.
I'm trying to imagine that stuck to your head, Paul. You've got to have it on the top of your head.
I would quite happily do that, actually. If I could find some way to link that into some kind of contact lens type Google Glasses type thing. And just have that aerial kind of coming out my temple. That would be good.
I'm glad you finished.
All right. Well, we've already alluded to it, so let's get right to the Google Glass project. The Google Glass Explorer Edition, the very first ones have been announced, as we'll also talk about all the other announcements from Google I/O, the two keynotes that happened yesterday and today. We've got lots of announcements from those. So Google Glass, let's explain that. It's a, you've seen the preview before. It's got a little camera mounted on the glasses. They're going to sell a developer version to the people who are already there pre-ordering it at the Google I/O conference. $1,500, $1,500 ships in 2013, sort of a prototype. Wi-Fi only, there's no 3G. We don't really know what this thing does yet. They seem to be indicating it's for live streaming your life, streaming on Google Plus, Hangouts of the world as you see it at that time with some local recording capability. We also found out just this morning that the consumer version is being planned, according to Sergey Brin, for 2014. You guys already have your prototype editions, I see. What are your thoughts on this?
I just want to ask James one question. James, those Google glasses on your head, when did you get those?
Yep. They were basically, somebody left them in a bar.
A few years ago.
Oh!
There's a small camera on the side of your glasses, if you haven't noticed. You can sell those on eBay now and make a small fortune.
Yeah, absolutely, I could say. Well, but my fear is that everything will start looking like an episode of Peep Show. It's a sitcom where the premise is everything is viewed through the eyes of the other person. It's quite frightening.
In dodgy kind of 480.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoa. It's pretty. This camera can just about do QVGA, so I think that's all I really need for my sort of rather out of focus life.
What is the resolution of the Google Glasses? Because I've kind of looked at the images and thought, well, I presume it's 1080, but
It's likely to be, but it's likely to be pretty high resolution because, I mean, you look at the GoPro cameras, they are minuscule, but it depends what else they're expecting to do. Are they expecting to have some kind of transceiver inside, some kind of program? I don't even know how they connect to the rest of the world, to be honest.
Well, if they're coming in 2 years' time, the only thing that I think is the fact that, I mean, the technology will have exceeded them by the time they actually get to consumer level anyway. So, you know, they'll probably need to be 4K to compete. No,
hey, let's not rule out the possibility of 3D since it is glasses mounted with two eyes right there. You got the binocular vision.
Do they do X-ray as well?
They should.
It could be X-ray. Yeah, it could be like the adverts you used to get in the back of the magazine, the comics you used to have when you were a kid.
I just don't understand the philosophy of wearing a screen in front of your eyes, and relaxing with people talking to you, and you're constantly distracted with all the information. Or shall I take a photo? My wife has a go at me at the moment when I've got a screen in front of my, you know, in front of me. If I have my glasses on, the screen in front of me all the time, my divorce is just coming.
Well, based on
she wouldn't be able to tell from the fact you're not taking the blindest bit of notice of her.
She would be able to tell.
Steve, I just want to point out yesterday, when we were on the tube coming back to your house last evening, there is a moment where Google Glass would have been very useful for you, isn't there? There was a girl got on the tube, we were talking to Steve's wife last night, and she said, so were you looking at her breasts? And I said, well, to be fair to Steve, they were looking at us. They were awful. It was an incredible sight. So Google Glasses would be perfect in that situation, I think.
What situation, realistically though, what situation would they be better for? Because it was really interesting, because the skydive, if anyone didn't see it, they introduced the Google Glass thing with an amazing demonstration, absolutely top-notch demonstration. A bit like me and Ewan tonight, we jumped out of a plane on the way to the studio. They skydived down 1 mile vertical down, wearing the glasses, showing the footage on the Google Hangouts. And they handed over a package to the guys on a bike once they'd landed on the stage roof. They rode their bikes, then abseiled, then I don't know. It was great. But you would normally, sports people would wear a helmet, and the helmet has your cam in. So I don't understand the advantage of having it on your glasses as opposed to the sports guys who have it in their helmet. I don't understand the practical advantage of this.
I agree, Steve. It's kind of strange because hold on, James. The initial presentation that they showed like months ago in their little concept video was using it as like a heads up display, augmented reality, real emphasis on receiving information over the internet and using it to display in front of what you're seeing in real life as you walk down the street. Then when they announced this yesterday, the emphasis has been on the camera and the streaming from the camera to the internet, as opposed to from the internet to your glasses. So I don't believe they showed any demonstrations of a heads-up display.
Nothing on the video, no.
Yeah. So either this developer edition, which they're calling the Explorer edition for pre-order from developers only, either doesn't have heads-up display, or they're just not. They haven't mentioned it yet. I don't know why.
Yeah. Sorry, was that Explorer or Exploit edition?
well, both we'll probably see. But also no wireless connectivity. I think it has Wi-Fi, but that's it. So so much for walking down the street and you know, getting your augmented reality from Google Maps, because you won't have a cellular connection. So if the idea is just to live cast what you're walking down the street looking at, I mean, isn't that kind of what Justin TV did back in its very first incarnation? The idea of live casting is kind of like 5 years old. It never really took off, because if everybody live casted, what would there be to watch? Just be be everyone walking down the street, which is boring. So, I mean, those are my thoughts. I don't really see a use for this, although Sergey Brin seems to have made this a pet project.
But this is, it's the Explorer Edition. That's exactly it. I think this is fantastic. I cannot wait till this arrives. The Explorer Edition, it's about taking and getting some data pulled back from it in some way, seeing how the glasses are being used and things like that. I think it's awesome.
Stick them on the car.
Sorry?
Why?
But because I can't wait till this kind of comes along and you get the heads-up display. What I think this is because they possibly can't get the technology to put the heads-up display in such a little form factor just now. So all they're doing is they're kind of throwing it out there for to see what developers do with it as it currently stands. And as time goes on, they'll refine the technology, things will become smaller as time goes on, and they'll manage to stick heads-up display in it. I think it's all just a data-gathering thing just now, just as Google is known for.
Well, that scares the bejeebus out of me. So you think it's data gathering as in you walk down the street and it's gathering everyone's face recognition walking down the street that you're coming towards?
Well, I mean, the first thing to think about, though, is that there's an interaction, isn't there, with in this I.O. conference about their version, in inverted commas, of Siri. They've got, I can't remember what it's called, but they've got this thing effectively that it's real time. It knows where you are. And it will, if you go past a certain place, it will tell you what's there regularly. If it knows that you shop in Costa Coffee, it'll tell you what the price of the Costa is there as opposed to the one over the street, which is Ritazza or whatever.
That won't get annoying.
No, exactly. I mean, I think there's probably going to be some kind of, there's got to be some kind of barrier mechanism, some kind of, you know, don't tell me about this anymore. But, you know, if you're walking past a sports venue, they tell you when the next match is. You walk past a theatre, and they tell you when the next performance is, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's where the glasses are aimed at. It's not surely just about the fact that I can take a picture of some girl's breasts on the tube. I hope.
I'm really...
Although that function is clearly there as well.
Yes, however you choose to use it.
I'm looking forward to being able to tell me people's names. I have the worst memory for names, but the best memory for faces. So I know I've met people before, and if these glasses could just kind of give me like a little heads-up display, kind of saying, this person's name is Billy Braggins, or whatever his name is, that would be awesome.
My name's not Billy.
The Lord of the Rings guy?
that's where I was going to go.
Bill Braggins, yeah.
I should also point out, this wasn't in our list, but this week Facebook had a little a snafu. They published a feature that then they later retracted and claimed it was intended only for developers to test, but I think it made its way into everyone's copy of the iPhone and Android apps. It was being called a stalker app. The idea was that when you meet people, instead of saying, oh, Facebook me, here's my name, write down my name or type it in or look me up right now. Oh, which person are you? This person on the list with this name? Is this you? Oh, a friend you. Instead, you'd swipe over to the side and go to a little screen that was like called Find My Friends or something. And then anyone who was in the vicinity using the GPS location who was viewing that page, you had to be looking for people around you at that moment with this feature. It would then show you all the faces and people on Facebook who are in your nearest vicinity. Ideally, showing you the person who's standing right next to you that you want to add to your contacts and vice versa. So it'd be an easy way to add your contacts. And they pulled it because they said it was a stalker-like thing. What are your quickly your thoughts on that? And do you think if that's stalkerish and you think even Facebook pulled back on that and said, whoa, we can't have this. We really screwed up there. Paul, do you think that Google Glass idea that you're saying could ever come true where it shows you that's so-and-so, here's their name, address, etc.?
I think it would possibly have to link into some kind of contact information. So if you were already contacted in some way using Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or something like that, and it could kind of just give you so much information that you already kind of knew in some kind of fashion. So you already know their email address, so it maybe give you that kind of information. No, I'm not expecting you to just kind of walk in a nightclub and be able to see everybody's names or being able to walk into a shopping center or something like that. No, I think that would be relatively scary, yes.
Okay, you always do that. You can already do that with gaydar.
Hey?
What?
Is that a product I've not heard of?
Exactly, but there's a gaydar app. You go into a gay club and it just tells you who's nearby. I mean, come on, there's nothing new. Probably with photos. It's just an extension of what the gay people were doing years ago.
Who asked you to review that app, James?
Google would be so happy that you've gone from Google Glass to gaydar so quickly.
It's the way my mind works.
Is that that's a
I could see it in
market.
My goggles.
Yes,
you do
yes.
realise is these goggles just do more than just look at the world. They've got an analytical well, sense to them as well.
Definitely.
The filthy heterosexuals get away with it. No.
Yeah, let me take
you into an imaginary world. We are the Google board. We've got a product that we want to demonstrate. What does it do really well? Well, it's an interactive screen that goes in front of your eyes so you can see the information that's going on around you on your eye, right in front of your eye. Great. We've got to demonstrate it when we do a big keynote. What should we do? I know. Let's get some skydivers to video skydiving down and video the whole thing. Brilliant.
Should
that
have done
really
it in a gay
shows
club.
It off.
I tell you what, I would have been really cool is if you could have seen a little thing flash up in front of one of the skydiver's eyes that said, "Pull it now!" Or had a little countdown on the how fast they were falling or something.
Yeah.
Maxim in the chat room said, "Gay glass." Dubbed already.
Well, you and you brought up the point that what better way to downplay the technology than to have an extreme sport to show it off, to have people, you know, how to distract people from the actual product than to say, here's someone wearing it, jumping out of an airplane.
I agree. I think I think the only thing that they really cocked up on yesterday was the fact that they did this fantastic thing. Sergey was stood there. He's clearly got stage presence. He was very, very convincing, very, very cool and relaxed, cool as a cucumber, wearing a super cool shirt. And then they handed over to two people who were nervous and who were sitting at the back of their mind thinking, holy crap, someone just jumped out of a plane and all I've got is this silly crap on my face. And I've got to talk about it for an hour with half a dozen slides. I mean, I think they were awful anyway, but I think, you know, that was the hospital pass of the afternoon. And what he should have done is he should have stayed out there and he should have explained it because he had the presence to carry
it on. I have to say, I loved your tweets at the time, Ewan, because you were watching it and you said, hey, this is cool. This is just like, oh, they brought a couple of geeks out to ruin it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly
live disappointment on Twitter. It was brilliant.
Well, no, that's the thing is, that's what Eric's saying there, that they've jumped out of a plane and previously with glass, I'm kind of like, this is the king's new clothes. No one else is allowed to wear it. No one else can see it. Sergey walks around with it on his face saying it's the best thing since sliced bread, but no one sees any output from it. And then all of a sudden they show us something that's like, oh, this is real. But then actually it's whipped away straight away because unless you're a developer, you can't get it for another year. And unless you're a punter, you aren't going to get this for 2 years. I'm sorry. You look at technology. Where were we 2 years ago? We were at iPhone 3GS. And where are we now? iPhone 5 is around the corner. They've lost the plot if they think they're going to successfully launch in 2 years' time with what they showed yesterday. It's pathetic. And at $1,500, get stuffed. It's an entry-level MacBook Pro.
But is that not why they called it the Explorer, though?
The closing comment should come from DT90 in the chat room, who says the pull it now phrase would also work on the Gaydar version. I think that the price point is a good time.
See, I had the same joke, but Eric, I censored Eric. That, so I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, go for it. You do the segue
do the joke.
Thing.
Do the
Carl
joke.
Did that so well last week.
Go, Eric, go for it. Oh, no, I was going to make that. I had thought of that when it first came up, and I thought,
I better not.
I never know what's appropriate for the
joke. Everything's appropriate, mate. I can bleep.
All right. Well, anyway, okay. I think we've done enough about the glasses. If you haven't seen the demonstration, it was interesting. Although, yes, jumping out of a plane doesn't really show off the capabilities of anything except the camera and the various Wi-Fi and high bandwidth streaming, multiple HD streams coming off of an airplane that clearly is not part of this product for sale. So moving on to the other announcements, which again, let me take a step back here. Last 2 weeks ago, Apple's keynote. Last week, Microsoft Surface, people thought this was going to be huge. They thought Google was going to, what are they going to show? They're going to have their own tablet. They're going to blow those other announcements out of the water. And what happened, I think a street cleaner just went by. I heard a loud noise. What happened was Very boring. They have the tablet. They have the Nexus 7. They have a little glowing orb, a sphere that plays music and streams video from the Google Play service. And they call that the Nexus Q, and that's $300, made in the U.S., inexplicably. I don't know who's going to buy this thing at that price. It seems like an overpriced Apple TV. Let's start with the tablet, though. What do you guys think of the Nexus 7, 7-inch tablet, 16x9 screen, sort of a media tablet, gaming tablet? Your thoughts?
I don't
amazing know. Price point.
Yeah, I think that's a yep. good point. Yeah, $200 is really on the money. I think it's exactly what it needed to be at. The fact that it's Android and they're going straight for the Amazon link instantly will mean that they could sell pretty well on those. But I think the problem that you've got is that you're chasing, they're trying to be a big fish in a small pond because there is no tablet market. There's the iPads market. And then there's everyone else. But in terms of what everyone else is doing, this will be top of the pile, definitely.
Well, this is what I was pondering on this earlier. And I think where this separates itself from the iPad, though, is that there is only one single app store application emporium for Android. And so what you get is the same app, except more biglier. And I think they can use that as their tagline. Same app, more biglier. As opposed to on the iPad, where there are HD versions of the applications, which have been not just scaled up, but actually re-rendered for the size. So what you're going to get is a pretty poor experience. Yes, all right, so you'd have a larger surface to play draw something on, but it's pretty, still pretty woeful, I think.
Unless, no 3G.
It's going to be differently programmed.
There's no cellular, there's no phone. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Is it going to be aiming for that draw something market, though? I could see this being more about screen reader that you can also do kind of your emails and a bit of regular surfing on. I mean, that's kind of why I can see this sort of working. I mean, we don't have the Kindle Fire over here, but I certainly know of a small queue of non-techie people that are going to jump at the chance to get this kind of thing. And I think if this can come, well, I believe the release date in mid-July is also for the UK, Canada and Australia as well. This could actually make quite a big play into that market.
I love the example that the guy on the stage gave when he did the Google guy demonstrating this. He said that he was going on a camping trip, and so he was going to take a bunch of books to read on his tablet that has to be recharged every 5 hours. Yeah, that's really smart on a camping trip. It's a media tablet, right? I guess what I'm trying to say here is Apple, we know what their iPad does. It's sort of the Omni tablet. It's the default tablet. It's sort of like the Xbox or PlayStation 3 of tablets, especially with games. It's the one device that everything is tailored for and has the best software ecosystem. And it's sort of arguably the best multipurpose tablet on the market right now. Microsoft Surface tries to go after that in more of a business sense, in more of a PC sense, saying this is the future of a personal computer instead of a laptop. This is the next evolutionary step. Google's announcement doesn't seem to go after either of those markets. Seems to be more of a additional screen. You know, they want you to watch movies on it. And yet, even though it's 16x9, it fits on top of an iPad with room to spare. So the screen, your movies are not actually bigger than they would be on an iPad and are technically lower resolution because it's only 1280x800, not Retina, not greater than HD like Apple's. Also, you have the 16x9 form factor, which is it's smaller, you know, it's very narrow. It's arguably bad for like word processing and for PC type of tasks like Microsoft's is. That's the reason Apple has a 4x3 aspect ratio is to do real computing on it as well. So then if it comes down to games or reading, you know, again, there's so much competition. Is it better than a Kindle for reading? Is it better than or an iPad's Retina display for reading? Is it better than the Nintendo 3DS or the Sony PlayStation Vita for gaming, or even better than an iPad? Again, you've got the Xbox problem, the game console problem, where instead of trying to optimize for every conceivable hardware and software combination, which we'll call fragmentation here in the Android space, the games are, for an Xbox, for instance, are perfectly optimized. They're tweaked to hell and back to get the best possible performance out of that for that one hardware reference design, which I think is a better experience for gamers. So again, I'm kind of feeling like even though this is cheap, $200, who's going to buy this?
And will
you get anything else you want to add to that, Eric?
No, I think I covered it all.
Okay. We hit on a couple of use cases there, which I find quite interesting, is the DS, the 3DS, and the Vita market. This is a bigger screen. It's going to be cheaper to put games and things like that on this. and it's about the same price point, I think, when you do the exchange rate to like a 3DS or something in this country. So I'm just thinking about maybe the kind of the junior market kids who are wanting a 3DS or a PlayStation Vita. This might actually work better for them because they've got that. Then they can also presumably jump on and play the Flash games that are online. They can pick up some media content and sit and watch the latest episode of Phineas and Ferb or whatever. Isn't that the kind of thing? I mean, I never even thought about it until you just mentioned it there, but that kind of makes sense to me.
I think this is an absolutely brilliant product. As a product, for $199,
It's amazing. It's so cheap.
Right, the price really good. But what's the market? Have they gone for
right,
the business
I mean,
market?
You say-
Have they gone for the consumer market? Have they gone for the prosumer market? Which one of those markets are they going for?
I mean, James, you say it's cheap, and yet if it's $200, and again, that's for half the storage, that's for the 8 gigabyte model, half of an iPad. If let's say the iPad equivalent is $250 for the 16 gig model, you know, $200 or $250, you've almost bought an iPad. You've almost bought a laptop or a Surface tablet. And really, what have you gained? It seems like it occupies another world where it's not the best gaming device, it's not the best reading device, and it's not the best general computing or web browsing device.
But is that not the key?
Yeah,
though?
I accept that.
But is that not a good thing, maybe? Because it's kind of sitting right in the middle there. If you have only got $200 or 200 quid to spend on a product of this type, and you want something that is going to fill all of those niches without having to blow 500 quid, 400 quid on an iPad, and maybe the main thing you're going to do is reading books, then I kind of think it kind of works in that area.
I mean, I think personally, as someone who uses an iPad an awful lot, I read a lot of news in the morning when I'm at breakfast, if I'm in a hotel, and I've got a 64 gig, so I thought, well, I want to take as much away with me as I possibly can. But actually, I could probably get away with 8 to 12 most of the time. I think 8's a little bit little. 16 would probably be the sweet spot. And this is giving you an option at a very affordable price of something that you can take with you very easily. And at 16.9, it's geared for watching movies. I know what you're saying, Eric, about it not hitting the exact same size as the iPad is. It's smaller. But there's a certain element of watching movies on the iPad that it annoys me that I've got that wasted space at the top and bottom of the screen. I kind of would like to be able to unhinge my iPhone, my iPad, and squeeze it down into 16.9 and latch it again just so I can watch the movie on it and then pull it open when I want to look at a web page. You know, that resolution independence to the nth degree. And I like the idea of a 16x9, 7-inch tablet that's just going to be carried around, that's going to be light, doesn't have to be brilliant on battery. And I sit in a hotel room and I whip it out and I watch a movie, I watch a TV show, I browse the net, I play a game of Angry Birds. And it's, you know, it's half the weight, perhaps. But when's it coming?
It's interesting, yeah. It's interesting July. What they've launched it. They've announced it very close to launch, where actually quite a lot of the time, you know, the Google Glass and the other stuff that they tend to say, they forward announce it. And you're thinking to yourself, well, hang on a minute, if they're going to be launching it in the next, is it 2 weeks, I think? That's not going to quite hit the Christmas market. Are they going to try and ramp it up towards Christmas? I'm wondering what they're doing with it.
Well, they've got a lot
to school.
Don't forget, they've got a lot of Android phones in the market. I mean, they're activating 500,000 Android phones a week, is it, or a day or something like that. It's a ridiculous sum.
It's
a million
so
per day.
Now.
They've activated 400 million Android phones to date versus Apple, which is 350 iOS devices.
So how active are those phones as advertising platforms for a bigger space where you can play the same stuff you've already paid for that will transfer across? You know, is there a backdoor for Google to start sending out some adverts that saying, have you tried? You know, that's an enormous market to suddenly start selling to. I mean, the iPhone has sold 250 million units or something like that total. So you've got 400 million Android phones a day being activated. Unbelievable amount.
Well, commuting, traveling on public transport, you can tell when you look at somebody using their phone. Yes, you still see BlackBerries knocking about with the young kids. But if somebody's holding a phone, it's 50-50 whether it'll be an iPad or a Galaxy S3 or an HTC. It's getting really close now. But the thing is, I still don't see a huge number of people with tablets. And if I do, they've got iPads. And has the market flooded with iPads, or have people not still found the tablet they want because they can't afford it? I think it is an affordability thing. Is this a tablet people are going to be able to afford? Which brings me back to the question I had last week, is how's the Kindle Fire selling in the US?
Well, for me, from my point of view, individuals, prosumers or customers, will go out and buy an iPad on 95% of the time, and then you meet the odd person who's got a Nook or a something, and they're trying to not spend £400 on an iPad. And they're reasonably happy, and there's a small market for that. Business-wise or enterprise-wise, I think there's quite a few companies that don't want to spend £400 on a product that they see as replacing a laptop. And that's where this potentially could appeal to, because if they get Office on it, and the first tablet that gets Office on it will just fly into the enterprise network. And that's where Microsoft are putting their hedges, or their bets.
Yeah.
It's a good stab. What's the open version of Office that's not supposed to be out there at the moment?
The one that Google on Live? Just bought.
No, the one on OnLive. There's a version of Office through OnLive, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
That they're arguing about whether you should have at the moment. Couldn't you technically get that through your Android tablet?
Have an OnLive client. I thought it was just an iOS thing.
There's lots of versions of Office programs that run Word, Excel, etc., etc. I mean, we use them and they work 95% good. They generally work, but the first one that actually gets Office on there, because you never get sacked in the corporate world for buying IBM or buying Microsoft. It's the safe thing to do.
Yeah, Steve, I want to jump in there and support your point on that, because I agree with the Microsoft Surface. I think that they definitely are going for the boardroom, the business room. They want that thing to come in. They expect, and this is why they made it look so beautiful and like a professional machine with the cool little, you know, flap out keyboard and stuff. They want you to walk into there and put it on your desk at the conference table and have all the iPad users with their little Bluetooth keyboards go, oh, what's that? That's so cool. And then they're going to buy 1,000. They'll get the order that right then that day for their whole office with those things. So I think clearly that's a business tablet. But again, I did my criticism to this thing, the Nexus 7. I mean, they showed, by the way, I will say they called it Nexus 7. 7, I'm sure, indicates 7-inch screen, which it has. They didn't call it Nexus 2 or Nexus 5 or something to coincide with like the actual version number. So it's based on the screen size. So it's possible that we may see a Nexus 10, Samsung has the Galaxy 7, Galaxy 10. They named them after the screen sizes. I wouldn't rule that out. But where it stands now, they demonstrated magazine reading as if this is going to be a big thing you do on the 7. And it was a joke because the 16-byte magazines are basically a 4x3 screen or like an 8x10, much better suited for the iPad. Here they showed you blow up the screen and you're panning around the magazine. Atrocious design. That is not how a magazine is supposed to be viewed. He ended up... The demo guy ended up clicking the button that then transformed the magazine that you purchased into double spaced, cleanly formatted text to optimize for that size of display, which is not exactly the same value proposition as the iPad magazines, where you're looking at beautiful graphics and you're looking at full screen, full color images, and you're flipping the pages and you've got the special layout that makes a magazine worth paying for. So there's that. And then Ewan, to your point, you said that you like to have a 16x9 video screen. You don't like having the letterboxing. Well, I got 2 points on that. Number one is a lot of movies still come out and they're the super wide screen, the anamorphic. So you're going to letterboxing on the 16x9 screen anyway. But the bigger point here is that it's a misconception, because as far as I can tell, when you put that 7-inch screen, you can fit that entire Android Galaxy 7 screen on top of an iPad screen with room to spare. So the iPad, even though you're seeing black bars at the top and bottom of your 16x9 movie, you're seeing the movie bigger. You're seeing it. You could blow it up and crop the size if you wanted to, but you're seeing it with a higher resolution 1080p instead of 720p. And depending on what the screen turns out to be like, the iPad, as we know, has best-in-class viewing angles, color saturation, all this good stuff. So there's a lot of reasons why that may actually not be the best for movie watching, in my opinion.
I mean, what about the price at $200, though, Eric? I mean, $200, £150, I would spend £150 to buy one of these to see what it was like and let Ellis use it afterwards if I hated it. And that kind of price, there's... it's the wrong thing to say, perhaps, but there's a burnability associated with the tablet. You'd buy it and then you'd find something to use it for, or you'd buy it and you'd go and get an application and then you'd be like, oh, this is just a little bit more for me than I thought it would, or, you know, I like the look of this. It depends what the resolution is when it finally comes out, you know, in terms of whether it looks nice or whether you're seeing individual pixels, and you hold it up against your Retina iPad and you'll go, well, the iPad looks significantly better, but this does this really quite well. You know, I think I'll use it for this thing.
Content is
birthday
king.
Present. It's birthday present over Christmas present, isn't it? Kind of thing. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to give away, unless you're talking about your partner. Yeah, that's a good point. You're never going to buy anyone an iPad unless they're your partner, whereas you'd buy a $200 tablet for your 8-year-old son to have something that was his that he could play on, that he got some solitude from. I mean, Ellis particularly sits, and, you know, he's very good with his sister, but he's 9 nearly, and his sister's only 3, so there's a big age gap. And she's an annoying little git sometimes to him, and he wants to go and sit himself away. And he goes up in his room, and he's got Lego and that kind of stuff. Well, since he's had the iPad, he takes the iPad up, and he sits and does stuff. And he's only got educational things on there. He's got, you know, maps of the body, maps of the world, maps of the moon. He's got internet.
Ah, so all great programs that don't exist on Android.
Yep. Was it? What is there? No, there's no body navigator. Or...
Well, the thing is, that £200 is not the content. It's just the device, and a device with no content is worthless. And yeah. This is where I'm now stuck, because all our apps and everything is there, and it'd be almost madness for me to go out and buy an Android device, because I haven't got the content tied into it like I have with.
But there's an awful lot of free stuff there, mate, and there's free turn by turn navigators on Android that are prevalent. There's a lot out there for that, you know, and you've now got a tablet at 7 inches which you can mount, which is far easier to mount in a mobile area than the iPad is. Mine's a pain in the backside to try and get it up, and you've got turn by turn navigation.
Well, I think the use case there is quite prevalent in terms of buying one for the kids, because it's that cheap.
They need turn by turn navigation
to get to the rooms, of course.
Just attached to the back of the headrest. That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Because you mentioned the kids, I was thinking the same thing. I was imagining, you know, if you were a parent and you were buying this for kids, a really little kid, then yeah, maybe all they need is a screen. But look what you're missing with the iPad, right? I would think it'd be better to spend the extra money and get them what could be a full computer, the thing that has the educational software on it, perfectly optimized for the iPad, the thing that has parental controls, the thing that has, isn't the new feature where you can lock into the same application so they can't quit and go surf for porn. They can have to sit and watch the biology instructional video or whatever. That was unintentionally similar, but you get the point. The periodic table, you know, that kind of stuff. So for that much more, you get a full computer. You could also say, give them your old iPad when you buy the new one, and just, you know, pass that one down to your kids, because it's still, I would say, last year's iPad has a better value than this year's Nexus 7.
I think they've made a huge mistake there on one thing.
Which is?
The size.
Which it should have been.
16 gig storage is not enough.
I'm not entirely sure why. Why they come? Is storage really that expensive these days?
I bought 64 gig, Steve, and I don't use half of it. I've got filled it up, but I don't watch half of what's on there. I could get away with 16 quite happily. I was just a bit more judicious about what I chose.
All right, speaking of media streaming, and speaking of, we've already talked about the first two things that we thought were silly from this conference. The third, and definitely silliest, has got to be the Nexus Q. It's a $300 magic 8-ball that you plug stereo speakers into, and it has a magic amplifier inside. You plug $400 speakers directly into it, and it streams music not from your local devices, but from Google Play, and your friends come over, and if they have an Android device running your same software version and their music is on Google Play, and you don't mind them screwing around with your playlist, they can start putting music onto your stereo for you and shuffle around your music. Why?
You missed the best. And would you pay $300 about this?
It's got a button on the top that swims
around the side.
Yeah. So would you pay three times the price of an Apple TV for this Nexus Q?
That was the best segue ever.
It was.
I didn't been learning even notice from Carl. That.
Has it got a button on the top? You go and press it, and it says, buying this would be a bad thing.
It doesn't even fit right. in, like, if you were going to have, well, certainly in my house and most people's houses I've been to, there's kind of this stack of things under the telly, so like their Sky HD box or their whatever, and this circle would just look stupid. I mean, I know there's lots of other problems with it, and this is maybe the least thing that you should be worrying about, but it just, I don't know, it's the same with the boxy box as well. It's just a stupid shape. I want something flat and black, and it just kind of sits on top of all my other crap under there. This is a ridiculous idea.
I'm wearing a pair of glasses that are Google Glass. They look great in my eye. I think this thing will look great in my house. Me walking around with Google glasses and this stupid box.
If you got your Google glasses and you've got the Nexus Q, are you worried that glowing ball in the corner is going to start sending you, you know, like secret messages into your eyes, like subliminal?
The coolest man. The wife will walk out.
Especially if he sells half their stuff to buy it.
Now, is the Nexus Q, though, a closed platform like Apple's TV, or is this more open? Because Google TV, of course, is far more oriented to being fed by your other streams. It's got pass-through video as well, so you're plugging other devices into it to then stream through it. Is this the same kind of thing, or is this pure, you know, go to my database, get my movies and watch them?
Well, they said they wanted it to be very... They said they wanted it to be very hackable, but they didn't really say what they meant by that. They wanted developers to hack it, but doesn't really have much internal storage. Pretty much, yeah. And you brought up the Google TV. It's a very big problem with the Google TV because I think it's like the same price as Google TV hardware boxes are, and seems to duplicate a lot of the same functions, but seems to be missing 90% of the functions of the Google TV. You can't have apps on it. You can't watch television on it. You can't do anything else the Google TV does except stream music from Google devices and Google Google Play. They're new. You know, that's where you store your music and you upload your music now. And unlike Apple TV, you can't stream your device's screen and you can't play a game like that. And you also can't use it for presentations, and you can't even stream if it's just local content. You have to have it already uploaded into Google's cloud. So again, why do you think they're cannibalizing or do you think they're just getting rid of the Google TV initiative, or what do you think's behind this?
I really don't understand what they're trying to do. I really don't. I mean, I've got a Blu-ray player. It costs something like £60, and I can play stuff off my NAS on it. And that's all I need to do. Right. All I want to do is be able to sort of upload a video that I took. My daughter had a concert. I recorded something with my Flip HD, uploaded it to my NAS. And Beth said, "Oh, we can't plug the Flip into the telly because you've taken it off." I said, "Don't worry about it. On the Blu-ray player, click play and fine." That's all we needed to do. So the Nexus, I can't see what, and it's certainly not, doesn't fit in any kind of decor. The other thing I was going to say, I know this is a bit of a diversion, but right, hotels I go to now, more and more of them have these sort of docking stations for your iPhone and iPod, so you can play music in your room of your own store. It's perfect.
They're when stealing the iPhone 5 your data, James.
Regardless of that, when the iPhone 5 comes out with a different type of slot, isn't that going to not make anything work anymore? Are they not going to fit into these iPod docks?
Are you just trying to mess Eric up by giving him a diversion that's not part of the segue? I can see what you're trying to do there.
This whole thing about the Nexus Media Streamer, it looks like one of those things you stick your iPhone into. But of course you can't because it's not got a slot for it. And two, when the new iPhone comes out, it's not going to have the right size slot anyway.
I've got a theory about
Google.
So
I'm completely confused by the whole thing.
I've got a theory about the whole Google announcements.
Go on, Em.
I think they messed up the pricing of all of it. It was a bit dyslexic was responsible for putting all the numbers up. Because you've got the Google Glasses at $1,500. You've got the Nexus 7 at $199, which is ridiculously cheap. And then you've got this box somewhere in the middle that they thought, oh, I know, that'll be really expensive. The whole pricing strategy of all three
maybe
items
two
doesn't make
around.
Sense.
You guys remember the famous thing that Apple got, the press just trashed Apple for this and trashed Steve Jobs for this a few years ago. They had a whole special announcement that was devoted to a leather carrying case for an iPad or iPod. And the headline, that little boombox. They made a boombox with two speakers, stereo speakers, and you dock the iPhone, or I think back then it was still just iPod in the front. And that was your, and Steve Jobs claimed it was better than he threw out his $9,000 stereo system because this is so much better. And everyone laughed at him and said, this is silly. Why was their whole announcement dedicated to this. They called it overpriced. They said the sound quality was poor because it's just Apple, you know, a luxury device from the luxury company, and no one's going to buy this thing. Now, look at what Google did. $300 for just the receiving device, even when Apple TV is on the market. Yeah, it does even better. Already, every product, the Roku, the Boxy Box, the Apple TV, all these Western Digital devices, all these things already replicate this function, fraction of the price, right? And with infinitely more compatibility with devices and other existing software and hardware. And then, so $300 just to buy this thing, and then they want you to buy, they're selling $400 speakers to plug into it. You plug it directly in because they're advertising that it's got an audiophile grade amplifier built in. Oh, we've got the best sound quality to plug two speakers directly into this sphere. So you're up to like $700 for a little bookshelf stereo system that doesn't even hold. You can't even dock a phone to it. It doesn't hold any music. Are they insane?
Well, here's my thought. When I looked at the things that were brought out this week, the tablet, there's a progression because it's phone to tablet and the OS is the same. If you look at the glasses, they've been touting the glasses for a very long time. Sergey's been wearing them for ages and they've been talking about them for over a year. Where's this come from? Because Google have done nothing that this is the extension of. They've done nothing that this is an evolution of. They've done nothing that suggests, even in what they've said, that they want to get into the media streaming market. All of the other devices they've got are mobile devices. They're going to track where you are. They're going to be linked into your Now facility now, where they can know what to give you in terms of location-based advertising and that kind of stuff. This doesn't. This is in your house. This is where it's always been. There is nothing that Google does that suggests that this device is logical. This is
There's a camera in there monitoring what's going on in your lounge. DT90 said in the chat room exactly what I was thinking. It's monitoring everything.
Where's this device come from? Because I don't believe that they've bought
it. Where's it going to?
No, I don't believe that they've developed this internally. I reckon someone's turned up with a finished product and said, what do you think? And they're going, yeah, we could do with that.
No, I'm gonna save your credibility there, Ewan, because Wired News already published the whole. They did a whole cover feature on it. Actually, they did. I mean, they're kind of going crazy, though. I agree with you. It doesn't make sense they would do this, but they did. They have a team of like 100 people who are trying to be new little Johnny Ives, and they're talking about beauty, perfection, and the beauty of industrial materials, and you know, just on and on. I mean, everyone's trying to be Apple now. You heard the same kind of rhetoric from the Microsoft Surface announcement. They developed it in-house in a very short time. The manufacturing is done entirely in the U.S. I think it said like 4 miles down the road from Google, or like, you know, a very short drive away. So really taking a strange and bizarre approach to this. But if the product is going to come out so much more expensive than anyone can afford, and there's no reason to buy it because it doesn't do anything, it seems like quite a diversion for them.
I don't get it. I don't believe that it's come from purely from internal.
Do you think it might have come from outer space?
Could be. It might have been like the sphere.
Area 51 thing. Yeah.
It absorbs.
I think this has entirely been created to combat Steve having his Google goggles. Because then lady folk can just buy two of these and it will then kind of break the signal up when he's kind of looking at them, the Google goggles, and that'll completely fix it.
Oh, Zuri, look at my orbs, they'll say.
Are you saying they're all trying to spy on me?
Are you looking at my orbs?
No, I'm just saying it's going to somehow kind of break the transmission so you can't actually look anymore. I'll put like static IM up on your glasses.
It is amazing what people wear on the tube, though.
He'd want to borrow your aerial, I think. Could you just imagine Steve with the goggles on and a big aerial on his head to just divert?
I mean, I was gutted the other day. I got off the tube with Ewan, and Ewan saw somebody I wish I saw.
What was that?
When I got off the tube the other day, you said to me, oh, did you see that? And I said, no.
Who was this? Who was this?
The are you pretending?
No, I can't remember.
The girl that you saw on the escalator.
Oh.
With the white shirt. Or the siphon shirt.
That was in the queue.
Well, when you don't have any women on the panel, the conversation just goes downhill sharply.
Steve and I have had a conversation this week.
Eric, take charge.
While we were getting the tube into where we were working, I said to him, there's a certain element of London, which is, what have you come dressed as? Because the people are dressed and you're like, those just don't go together. Or who do you think you are? You're from the 1930s or something like that, you know, because someone's dressed in something entirely
different.
That was
different. Me.
But there was a, we got off the train
Missy
in Victoria.
Missy was giving a disapproving look.
There was a huge, huge delay on the Victoria line, and they closed the entrance to the Victoria line. And as I'm walking down the queue, there's a girl stood in the queue wearing a see-through blouse and no bra in the middle of Victoria Station. I'm kind of like,
you didn't tell me about it.
And he says, the first thing he says is, I bet she was going for an interview. I mean, it was people in London just, they just dress ridiculously, some of them. There's Hello? Normal people and then there's fancy dress people. London fancy dress people.
London fancy dress people. That's the title for the show then, I think.
You and what Eric. Are we talking about? Sorry, Eric, what are we talking about?
Over to you, Eric.
I'm not the host.
Yes.
No.
What would we like to mention next? Anything else? Let's look at today's announcements. There wasn't a lot from today. What is it? Some updates to Chrome OS. I didn't even notice this, but a few months ago or a few weeks ago or something, they changed the Chrome OS interface so that now it is multiple windows, like more like a Windows or traditional Windows and Linux interface or Mac, not the full screen only like you've had in Chrome OS. They announced the new Samsung Chrome OS devices, the new laptops, a new set-top, or not a set-top box, but I guess like, you know, a small form factor micro PC. Why? I guess it's going to be in Best Buy. Again, I don't know what they're going for with this, because if they're going to be priced as much as regular PCs and laptops, which the last set were, I don't see a value in buying this. Do you? You see, what are you excited for here with Chrome OS?
Is this just a case of fail faster? Throw stuff at the wall instead of kind of, I mean, I know Google used to kind of put up a lot of rubbish Wave. Well, actually, I loved Wave, but nevertheless, it kind of failed.
Wave was good.
Throw it up there. Yeah, I did like Wave. But throw that kind of stuff up there and it lasts for a long time. They kind of really, really try and then it fails. This and the Q-Box, is it kind of possible that what they're trying to do here is just fail faster, just chuck new stuff up there, big, big fanfare, make it look like it's the best thing in the world, and just see what happens. And then it doesn't work, they're going to close down that department and have them working on something else. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that came out of Google I.O. that just kind of screamed like that to me, because it didn't fit.
Yeah, you mean just a lot that seemed, random.
Random, exactly.
Yeah, almost like they're trying to throw us off. They're working on something behind the scenes they don't want us to pay attention to. So they're going to say, oh, we got a glowing sphere that plays music. Ooh.
I think Chrome...
the shiny thing over here.
Do I need to bleep there? I didn't hear it.
I said shiny.
Shiny, good lad. no, I mean, the Chromebook's a logical extension, though, isn't it? Google is web-based. This thing runs on all web. It's there to, if you've got a web connection, you can work wherever you want and do whatever you want. And there's, you know, if you look at the connectivity that there is around most cities now, I mean, if you've got your Wi-Fi started on your iPhone in London, as soon as you go and search for something, the Wi-Fi thing pops up. You've got 20 Wi-Fis to choose from, and several of them are free. So this thing's not as stupid if you're talking about urban life, but it's just a question of whether it does all the things that you need to do, whether the Google Docs is going to work properly with the interface to output to someone who wants a Word doc, you know, those kind of things. If it does that, though, it's logical for Google to do it, and it's cheap-ish, and it's easy, and it's affordable. There's no white MacBook Pro anymore. The low-end netbooks for Windows are all crap. If this thing's stable and runs solid and lets you do your coursework easily and lets you distribute your coursework, it's actually a sensible buy for a student, no?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, a student, sometimes they need Microsoft products. You know, it's required to turn something in or to have a presentation in PowerPoint or something. You know, they haven't announced pricing on this generation of the Chromebooks, but the last ones were priced the same as a cheap Windows laptop. I would think that for that price, it'd be better either to buy a Windows laptop or to get some kind of a tablet or, you know, one of these new form factor devices, if all it needs to do is just to have the Chrome browser, you can get almost any tablet or even an iPad now that has that. That's another, not to jump ahead of myself, but they actually also announced Chrome, now the browser coming for iPad and iOS. You won't get the benefits of their speedy WebKit rendering tweak. It has to use Apple's WebKit core, but you'll have tab synchronization, password synchronization, a bunch of things like that that Firefox has and Safari now has. It's sort of a standard for browsers to have now. So that's there too.
Is it actually going to be a full browser though?
Sorry. So now I'm surprised that they're not doing a... I'm surprised that they're doing an OS as opposed to the jelly bean and the ice cream sandwich and all the rest of it. I would have thought they were merging the two in the same way Apple are, really. They don't seem to be moving in the same direction. They are moving to a different platform, different OSs, different devices. I would have thought they'd be doing the opposite and trying to merge the two.
Yeah, that's how it seems to me. If you're going to be paying hundreds of dollars just to have the Chrome web browser, you might as well buy an Android phone or an Android tablet or any of these other devices that have a Chrome browser, even Windows.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else to announce? What else did they talk about?
That's pretty much it. It's been Google, hasn't it? What about?
I think that was it.
No, Google, that's it.
Well, did we cover all the announcements?
I'm not doing it.
Any other women that you saw on any trains or public transit you'd like to know?
Oh, come on!
Too many and not enough time.
All right, well, if we're wrapping it up, then I guess, do we have any cool things?
Steve, you said one more. No?
No. I've got a cool thing, though. I'm ready for the cool thing, but I'll wait my turn. Is it James first?
Do we not normally do an advert first?
It's Eric's show.
I don't have the ad copy, so you, if you want to do an ad, jump in and do it.
This podcast and all the others is sponsored by UK2.net. They are superb, wonderful individuals who look after this. I mean, they're rock solid. Rock solid, full stop. This server never goes down. We had 108,000 downloads of the Mac show 2 weeks ago, and server was fine. Never blipped, not a thing. They're really, really good quality, really, really good prices. Go and check them out. We've got loads of offer codes for you. We got approached by Hover.com to come and sponsor a couple of the podcasts on the network, and they wanted to cherry pick which one they wanted, and there was loads of conditions about how they were going to measure us and that kind of stuff. UK2 don't do that. They just support us. They just provide us with every bit of bandwidth that we need. We used nearly 20 terabytes this month, and it's not a problem. They're happy, and they give you guys great deals. 20% off domains. No one does 20%. There's DNS management charges completely wiped off. There's VPS, VPN. All you've got to do is go to our website, click on britishtechnetwork.com, click on the UK2 logo, and then send you through. If you then use the offer codes, we get the kudos for having sent you. If you don't, they'll still honour the codes, but they'll figure that you probably got them off a website that does voucher codes and stuff like that, rather than sticking with ours. So please click on the link. Please go from ours. Even if you just want to sign into your own account, I've had to sign in and renew a domain this week. Did it through our website just because we get the kudos for that. And also try the offer codes because most of them will work. Make sure you put your offer code in and hit return before you put your payment details in, and just keep putting offer codes in and hitting return, and it'll slowly start clearing your basket and then finally stick in it. UK2.net, we'd be lost without them. Absolutely lost. And next week is the Bash. It will be here in Birmingham, Friday the 6th of July. It's £20 a ticket. Epic. You go to britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk, and that's just to help us cover costs of food and beer and that kind of stuff. There's going to be a ton of beer. There's going to be a pig roast. There's going to be some salad for anyone that wants salad, as well as dead pig. And there's going to be loads of other stuff going on. We've got TechSmith are sponsoring the event as well, and Betsy's coming along from TechSmith, and there'll be some giveaways and that kind of stuff. So come along.
Some very, very special giveaways, I believe.
There will be a couple of special giveaways.
Ones that people would not want to miss out on.
No, they would not, including...
So if you're sitting there thinking whether you're going to come or not, it would be a good idea to come, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we've got a limit of...
There were prizes given away last year. There are bigger prizes given away this year.
Absolutely. There's a limit on tickets. I think we're just shy of 50 at the minute, so we're going to cap it at 50. So there's a couple of tickets left. We had capped it at 100, but we're going to have it at my house. So cap of 50 people. So you've only got a couple of tickets left to get that. Teresa's coming from Boston. Everyone's coming. Event, britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk.
And there's mead.
And there's mead. 36 pints of it.
Is it still in the house?
It's still in the cardboard, mate, that it arrived in.
Excellent.
It's not even come out of the packaging.
Brilliant.
So you're going to have the whole pig that then you turn on the spit?
Yeah. Well, we've got a firmin to come and do the turning. We're lazy.
Well, I've never understood. How is the inside of the pig not raw and the outside not burnt?
Because it cooks slowly over slower heat. They need to come and set up in the morning at like 9:30, and we won't be able to eat it until like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So
how many hours is that?
How many what?
How many hours is that that it has to
cook? Oh, it's 4 or 5 hours to cook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we're having the full pig, roasted over many hours.
Yep.
And mead.
And
I think I'll just come dressed as a Viking.
And some prizes. And
are you saying that like you shave off the first few layers, eat that, and then it continues to cook?
No.
No, I think
slow cook the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I've never been to a pig roast. I have to go to your bash someday soon.
Well, sort out a ticket price and get over here, mate.
Are you going to be in the kitchen again, Eric?
I'll start swimming, yeah.
Last year, weren't you, Eric?
Yes. Say what? Eric was in the kitchen last year.
Oh, yeah, yes. The speaker.
We will be doing all of the shows all day. Ellis has said, could he do a special Dad and the Dude? And
brilliant.
And he's going to be here all day, and he wants to do a Bash and the Dude, which is all of you guys quizzing him, which I think is brilliant. He might chicken out at the last minute, but he's keen. There we go.
Really funny.
So we get all the shows. We're doing Gamer as well, Paul?
Yes. Although Chiz still hasn't confirmed whether he's coming along. Sam definitely can't, but we can maybe do something over Skype with him, actually.
Yeah. No, and we're going to web and iOS and those kind of things. We're going to all the laptops and that kind of stuff will all be out there. The screens will be out there, and all the tech will be ready to run, just like we currently do in the studio. So, but we'll have one webcam that's just going to point out at everyone, unless someone brings lots of other Mac-compatible webcams, which don't all use the same driver. So don't bring a Logitech, because I've already got a Logitech. You can't put another one on. We'll figure it.
And the Dude.
Oh, and a GP. We can watch the qualifying as well, can't we? Practice for GP Grand Prix. So,
there'll be a doctor on site.
Stomach pump will be available, yeah. Absolutely. Drunk and the Dude. I like that one.
Yeah.
There you go. I've done the adverts.
All right, cool things. James, you want to go first?
Yes. I imagine this evening's been a little bit sort of downbeat. We've not been particularly easy on Google, and I was hoping to bring you something exciting and new. But both of the things are more intriguing and perhaps represent the future of technology and delivered applications. The first thing is called BlueStacks.com, and Super Chicken in the chat room pointed me at this. It's basically your favorite Android apps now on PC, and there's also a version for Mac as well. Only a few apps are available at the stage, but more apps are being developed all the time. So you basically can play Android apps on a non-Android device. Now, this is one step beyond what I tried. There was a version of an Android disk image that you could install on, I think it was BusyBox or one of these virtualized engines. But this is actually running a native Android app on your normal device, which I think is quite fun. And the second one, again, I haven't quite found a use for it. It's called Spoon.net, and that is application virtualization. It's one step further from taking a USB stick with portable apps with you to an internet cafe or somewhere. You install the client and then download the app to the client, and so you have a virtualized version of the application running on a client you've just downloaded, which I think is quite clever, but I still haven't found a use for it. Maybe I'm just not part of the target demographic. So anyway, things to play with, BlueStacks.com, Spoon.net. Have a play, see if you can work out what they're for.
Cool. And who's over there? Steve, you want to go next?
Yes. I've got three.
Oh, my God.
Number one. The Tilku Helmet Cam. It's £22, and it does HD video from the side of your face. Number two. Virgin Media on Wi-Fi on the Tube. So you're in London Underground, deep underground, and you have Wi-Fi now in most of the Zone 1 stations. Have a guess what speed you get download. Have a guess. Come on.
3.
Up.
K.
Up.
3K. Up.
Come on. 10?
10?
I can't take part because I saw the result.
Higher than 10.
9,600 baud?
18 meg down.
Wow.
Have a guess what
speed you get at home. I get in my house.
Hang on, the up.
Have a guess what speed you get up.
0.
Higher.
Yeah, you can download, but you can't upload.
Higher.
0.1.
1 meg.
Higher.
0.2.
Higher. Come on.
Oh, no, just you tell need us. To go a lot higher.
10 meg?
25 megabytes up.
Oh my goodness. We could do the British Tech Show 20, from a tube station.
You could. I was floored when you did the speed test on the iPad. 20 down and that's 25 amazing. Up on a tube
is that
station.
Because nobody's using it.
Maybe.
I don't know what it is, but it's not very busy at the moment, but you can get 18 down and 25
up. The backup, this is cellular or this is a paid Wi-Fi?
No, this free. Is free Wi-Fi in the London Underground
tube station.
The best city in the world.
Which tube station?
It's currently in Zone 1.
No
it's also
way.
Coming to Zone 2 in the next few months as well.
So which tube station did you try that at? Which tube station did you try that at?
To everyone.
Euston, Victoria,
Oxford Circus.
All over.
It came in rather handy at Oxford Circus.
Yeah, we were delayed stuck. On the tube.
If you're using FaceTimed, your Google, yeah.
Me and Ewan FaceTimed to a good friend of ours, Carl, and then we asked Carl to do a little favour for us. So we FaceTimed from a tube underground. How rock and roll is that?
It was
I
awesome.
Think everyone else on the tube was thinking, well, that's James Bond over there. They're using some special technology that we don't know about.
Was Carl's little favour looking
up? Do you know what we said to them?
Women on
it's our glasses. It's not the phone, it's the glasses.
The technology.
Number 3 is our Modern Warfare clan.
Yes.
I've got a menu. If anyone's rubbish at Modern Warfare, come and join us. We have a clan. BTM was taken, so we've got Elmo as a clan on there, Modern Warfare 3. And come and join us if you're rubbish. If you're good, you'll get kicked out because the rest of us are rubbish. But come and join us. That's my free.
Now, how do you join? Because I'm about medium at it now. I'm getting better with my aiming, but I'm still kind of reckless with how I just charge in, guns blazing. Not very patient to hang back and do stealth and snipe and everything. So how do you join?
I'm Clothhead HQ on Twitter and also on Xbox. It's Clothhead HQ. If you befriend me, then I'll befriend you, I think. And I'll let you onto the clan, but it's BT. Sorry, no, it's Elmug is the clan name.
Yeah, you need the elite thing for Modern Warfare 3 for to get the clans. You can't get the clans without downloading. You only need the free version. You don't need the paid version.
Yeah, just the free version on the.
Can
elite,
you do it on the PC? Can you do it on the PC?
I don't think you could compete on the same server as PC and Xbox because it would be totally unfair if you're on the PC with a sniper rifle.
Now that's the type of knowledge that means you don't play in our clan. No, it's good fun though. We've played a few sessions now and it's good fun not being beaten up by 12-year-old international students.
Does the clan have a minimum need requirement?
Exactly, yeah. Who's next?
I'd be Paul Wheatley. Hey Paul, what do you have?
Yes, well, just because everybody else has done more than one, I'm going to do two. But I'm going to do the first one really quickly because nobody else has mentioned it. And iTunes split out podcasts into its own app on the iPad and the iPhone this week. And it's actually really nice. The user interface for particularly the radio station is actually quite interesting. I know there's a word that kind of means you're trying to bring old-timey in and new-timey in. I can't remember what the word is, but it's quite nice. You kind of scroll through. It's got a dial at the top that allows you to scroll through kind of design-type podcasts, fashion and beauty, food, and so on and so forth. But it's really nice. I'm a bit unsure about this, and until iOS 6 comes out, I'm going to reserve judgment in case the podcast app doesn't come by default, because it's kind of taken it one step away, and I'm worried that podcasting isn't quite there in the UK, and so taking it one step away at the iTunes app is going to be a bit of a problem. But if it comes with iOS 6, then it's fantastic because it kind of draws up the and also really cool when you go into the catalogue in the featured section on the very homepage, Worlds of Parts on there by our own Carl and Missy, which is quite awesome. Really? And the totally. Second thing Yeah, the second thing that I just wanted to say was Rugby Nations 2011 for the iPad. A superb little rugby iPad app. It's not too complicated. It's quite easy pick up and play. You can do kind of 3 minutes each way. It's international teams. It's got kind of six buttons that are just around the corners. Well, it's actually got three buttons, but they're duplicated on each side. So you've got dodge left, dodge right, punt left, punt right, kick left, sorry, pass left, pass right. And then you've got equal controls for tackling. It's quite a fun little game just for kind of picking up and playing on the commute. I'll just put a link in the chat room for that one as well. Pretty awesome.
I deleted
cool.
it.
Cool. And Ewan.
Did you not like it?
I deleted the podcast app this evening on the way home because wouldn't let me download. It just showed what I got on, and when it wanted new episodes, none of our shows would work. They all work through the iTunes app that's on the phone, but they wouldn't work on the... I couldn't get it to download anything on the other one. My pick is those fantastic people at Stick Games have created Stick Tennis, and it's absolutely awesome. It's dead easy to play. It's perfect for the morning motion. And you just click to play and then swipe for left and right. It's dead simple. Bryony, my three-year-old, would have this in no time. I'm just trying to start a game. Here we go. You just toss it up and swipe, and then you just swipe backwards and forwards to shoot left and right and that kind of stuff. And it gets harder and harder. There's more and more difficult opponents. And it's free. Free, free, free. But there's a game you can play loads in there without having to spend a penny, but there's some buy-on levels as well which you can buy, and I think they're £1.49, but it's worth every penny. And Stick are brilliant. They've sent us a load of stuff to review in the past, and the guys there listen to the shows as well. They're BTN fans, so if you're listening, guys, great, great game. If you're out there, go and download it, and if you're not coming to the Bash, fellas, why aren't you?
Don't forget to wash your hands afterwards.
Yes, but it's good. Stick. Absolutely. Stick Tennis.
All right, and sounds good. And I don't have anything to...
The host has got to have a pick.
I remained silent this whole time so that I could disappoint you at the last minute before closing off the show.
I'm going to be predictable and say that Eric and I are going to have a conversation afterwards, and he's going to say, look, I'll host the show again, but not when you're near it.
Is this the last show before the Bash?
It's the last big show before the one that we do at the Bash, yeah.
Wow.
Are we not doing one next Thursday?
No, we're doing one on Friday. The big show's happening on Friday. Are you available, Eric, by the way?